The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
I feel the need for speed.
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
No, I am the father.
I'm Batman.
I'm Spartacus.
Bond. James Bond.
Well, that sound means it's time to go behind the scenes of another movie classic.
Okay, first of all, you and I answer the phones. The phone must be answered every single time it rings. Calls roll to voicemail and she gets very upset. If I'm not here, Andrea, you are chained to that desk.
Well, what if I need to...
What? No. One time an assistant left the desk because, you know, she sliced her hand open with a letter opener and Miranda missed Lagerfeld just before he boarded a 17-hour flight to Australia. She now works at TV Guide.
Man the desk at all times, got it.
Miranda Priestley's office? No, she's not available. Who is... Yes, I will tell her you called. Yet again. Right, remember you and I have totally different jobs. I mean, you get coffee and you run errands, yet I'm in charge of her schedule, her appointments and her expenses. And most importantly, I get to go with her to Paris for Fashion Week in the fall. I get to wear couture. I go to all the shows and all the parties. I meet all of the designers. It's divine.
And that's a scene from the 2006 film, The Devil Wears Prada. In that scene, you heard Emily Blunt and Anne Hathaway, but the movie also stars Meryl Streep and Stanley Tucci. It's based on the Lauren Weisberger novel. And to tell us all about it, Bill Hughes, television producer with Mind the Gap Films. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
I love this film.
Oh, good. I'm glad because I adore it. I just think it's fantastic. It's got so many great one-liners and so many looks and put-downs that the villainess played by Meryl Streep, Miranda Priestley, is just such a confection. The whole thing starts in New York, basically, and Andrea Sachs, played by Anne Hathaway, has just graduated from journalism, so she's all fully, you know, idealistic and everything else, and she's hired as the second assistant to Miranda. And Miranda is ruthless, merciless. She's the executive of Runway Fashion Magazine, and that's her world. But Andrea dreams of being a journalist in the real world, and the two do not get on. And the first assistant, Emily, advises Andrea about the behavior and preferences of Miranda, while Nigel, played by Stanley Tucci, jumps in and tries to sharpen up Andrea's image to fit in with the rest of the fashion.
Yeah, because Anne Hathaway, as Andrea, turns up like any kind of student might turn up for a tutorial in this kind of sweater, and we'll hear a bit more about that in a minute. But she looks like a typical student, whereas everything about the runway office is high fashion.
Oh, it's high fashion and it's pristine and it's prissy. It's really prissy and it's really uptight, and everybody has a rod up their ass because everybody is terrified of everybody else. So it's a really unhealthy place. And 20th Century Fox, they heard about Weisberger's novel before it was even finished, but they bought it. They bought the rights to it. And while the film is set in the fashion world and the references to all the well-known establishments and people within the industry, most designers were warned off by, in case they displeased, Anna Wintour, who was the editor of American Vogue. And the reason for that was that everybody thinks Anna Wintour is the inspiration for the character Miranda Priestley. So that's where fact and fiction cross over. Frankel, the director, David Frankel, he thought that the story as it was told was unnecessarily cruel to the Miranda character. He said, "My view was that we should be grateful for excellence. And why do excellence people have to be nice?" You can carry that so far. But the role set excitement in Hollywood going at a fever pitch. Everybody wanted to be Amanda Priestley, Jennifer Aniston, Kim Basinger, Cameron Diaz, Angelina Jolie. Like, I have this ridiculous list of who wanted the part. But it was Streep's part, and that was that. But Streep knew the value of herself, and she knew the film could be very successful. But she balked at what they were offering her as the fee. And she said that if it's not insulting, it's slightly, if not insulting, and perhaps it doesn't reflect the actual value of Meryl Streep to the project. And so they doubled the fee from $2 million to $4 million, and she signed on. I think she also signed on for a large portion of the back end, should it be successful. And as a result, Fox greenlit the film. And Streep had a personal reason for making this. She wanted to skewer the doyens of the fashion world, because having three daughters and as an ardent feminist, she felt that fashion magazines twisted the minds of young women around the world and their priorities. And so this was an interesting way to get back at them for Streep. So I don't know if many people are aware that that was her motivation.
Now, what about the relationship between Meryl Streep and Anne Hathaway? Because it's at the heart of the whole movie.
Well, on the very first day of filming, Streep said to Anne Hathaway, "I think you're perfect for the role. I'm so happy we're going to be working together." And then she paused and she followed it up with, "And that's the last thing, nice thing I'll say to you."
Yeah. Well, we're going to hear another clip. Will you set the scene for us here? Because this is a classic example of the two-hander.
This is where Streep, and there was so much work went into writing this speech for Streep that there were so many changes. And in fact, at one stage it was dropped from the film. But then Streep insisted that if she was staying in the film, this speech was staying in the film. And it was her chance to say how fashion works, and how Anne Hathaway's character, being ignorant of how fashion works, she needs a tutorial. And Anne Hathaway kind of snickers, but Streep takes her down with this.
"Oh, okay, I see. You think this has nothing to do with you. You go to your closet and you select, I don't know, that lumpy blue sweater, for instance, because you're trying to tell the world that you take yourself too seriously to care about what you put on your back. But what you don't know is that that sweater is not just blue, it's not turquoise, it's not lapis, it's actually cerulean. And you're also blithely unaware of the fact that in 2002, Oscar de la Renta did a collection of cerulean gowns. And then I think it was Yves Saint Laurent, wasn't it, who showed cerulean military jackets? I think we need a jacket here. Mm. And then cerulean quickly showed up in the collections of 8 different designers. And then it filtered down through the department stores and then trickled on down into some tragic casual corner where you no doubt fished it out of some clearance bin. However, that blue represents millions of dollars and countless jobs. And it's sort of comical how you think that you've made a choice that exempts you from the fashion industry when in fact you're wearing a sweater that was selected for you by the people in this room."
Wow.
It's a great speech.
It is. It's funny that earlier we were talking about next year's fashion colors. You can tell what they're going to be by looking at the colors of the rivers in China where all the fabrics are dyed. So,
That's a good one.
Now, Emily Blunt is terrific in this as well.
Oh, she's sensational. And she nearly didn't get the part. She was on the Fox lot doing an audition for a film called Aragon. And the producer knew she was around and shot an audition piece on the phone with Emily in her jeans and her flip-flops, feeling that she was perfect. Emily flew off back to London and Aragon went ahead. Another actress was cast. Emily got the word that, and she was devastated in London. So she went out on the tear with her sister to a nightclub. And in the nightclub, she got the call from Frankel saying that she got the part in Devil Wears Prada.
Now, this movie might have looked a bit different if Stanley Tucci did not get the part and an Irishman got the part instead.
Yeah, 150 actors went for this part, and Stanley Tucci got it literally 2 days before they started filming. But the runner-up for the part was Graham Norton.
Wow.
Graham Norton, he just missed out, just missed out.
So finally, I mean, everybody loves the movie. It's very funny. It's very sharp. It cost $41 million. How much did it take at the box office?
At the box office, it took $326 million. And it won the Golden Globe for Meryl Streep. She also got an Oscar nomination as Best Actress. The critics loved it. Everybody just thought, wow, this is the film. And by the way, the costume designer for the film borrowed so many great designers' outfits that at the end of the film, the designers said, you can auction them. And so they auctioned them and raised a couple of million dollars for breast cancer.
Very good. Terrific. Bill, thank you very much. The Devil Wears Prada is the movie we've been reviewing this morning. Bill Hughes, television producer with Mind the Gap Films.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.